Freilich in Chanukah. It's the holiday of Chanukah, and obviously one of the exciting things of Chanukah is matanos, is the presents that we receive over these many days. However exciting it is for most people, there are some kids that feel left out or deprived. Nebuch, it's unfortunate, but there are some kids that get these elaborate presents and they're all excited. They come into school the next day and they're showing off their new gadgets and their new toys, and there inevitably will be that one person in the class that didn't receive anything, or if he did receive something, it was a lot less than the other kids, and he feels depressed and he feels helpless and he feels diminished. And I can only imagine that that's exactly the way Aaron felt when all of the other tribes, the Nesiim, they were bringing their korbanos for the dedication of the Mishkan, and Aaron HaKohen was left out. As the Medrash tells us in the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, Lama Nismucha Parshas HaMenorah LeParshas HaNesiim. What's the juxtaposition of ideas between the Parsha of the Menorah in Parshas Bahaloscha to the Parsha of the Nesiim in Parshas Naso? Lefi Kishiroa Aaron Chanukas HaNesiim, says the Medrash that when Aaron saw the dedication of the Nesiim, Chalsha Az Daito, he was depressed. Shalohaya Imayim Bechanaka, that he wasn't with them. Lo hu velo shvato, not him, is not his shevet. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Shelcha Gidola Mishelahem, yours will be greater than theirs. Sha'ata Madlik Umeitiv Es HaNeros, that you're going to be lighting the Neros. What's so special about lighting the Neros? Why is that any greater than the Nesiim bringing Karbanos for the dedication of the Mishkan? The Ramban says that these weren't temporary Neros. These were not the only talking about the Neros of the Beis HaMikdash, but rather it's going to be that yours will be greater than theirs, Shata, that you, your descendants, will ensure the lighting of the menorah for Dore Doros. There's going to be a time where Klal Yisrael will be in danger of losing their spirituality. They're going to forget the Torah. The Yevonim are going to come and try to destroy the spiritual fabric of Klal Yisrael. And the Chashmonaim are going to come and they're going to restore the Torah in Klal Yisrael. And because of them, and because of their victory, they're going to go into the Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to find the Pach Echad Shel Shemen, and they're going to light the candles, and the next year there's going to be a holiday that will be established, and that holiday will be established L'Dorei Doros, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Aaron HaKohen. You're depressed. The Mishkan is temporary. But to be Malik Umeitev Es HaNeros is going to be for Dore Doros. Your children are going to ensure continuity of spirituality, and because of that, we're going to light the candles, the Dore Doros. The Chashmonaim were the saviors of Klal Yisrael. Let me give a broader context. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Klal Yisrael and made a bris, made a covenant. A covenant is when you have two parties, each one agrees to his part. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Klal Yisrael, I'm going to ensure that you remain forever, that never will you ever be exterminated. There might be rough times, a Holocaust, a pogrom, an Inquisition, but you'll always endure and remain. There are always going to be people that will want to come and say, Laharog, Lahashmid, Lahabed, but I will ensure that it never happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael. And all I need from you, your part of the deal is to ensure that there's ruchnius in Klal Yisrael. If you ensure spirituality, I will ensure the physicality. The Chashmonaim were the ones that ensured the spirituality of Klal Yisrael. They kept up the bris. It was because of them that the Torah was not forgotten. And ultimately, Klal Yisrael remained and endured forever. You would think the Chashmonaim would get a huge banquet. You think that their number would be retired in the Hall of Fame, and that every single year they would have a parade marching down the town square. That we should all be reminded that's the Chashmonai. It's because of him that the Torah was not forgotten. But yet the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us a totally different story. The Gemara tells us that kol man da'asi, that if there's ever a person that comes and says, mi beis chashmonoi ka'asina, that I come from the house of the chashmonoim, avdahu, it's a servant. Don't believe him. It's not true. De'lo ishtaira minayu, that there is no longer a remnant of the chashmonoic dynasty. Why? These were Chassidei Elyon. These were the guarantors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covenant. What did they do that was so wrong? That if there's a person that comes and says that they're from the house of the Chashmonaim, don't believe them, they must be an Eved. The Ramban tells us that the reason why they were punished is because they took for themselves the malchus, the royalty. Ki arbaz b'nei chashmonoi hazokin hachasidim hamolchim zeh achar zeh. They took royalty for themselves. In addition to being the Kohanim, they also made themselves kings over the Jewish people. And therefore, says the Ramban, Naflu biyad oyveihem bacherev, they fell to their enemies, and there is no longer a remnant of the Chashmonaim today. Does that make any sense? Because they took royalty? Just because Yaakov on his deathbed, an elderly man, he came to his son Yehuda and he said, Lo yasor shevet mi Yehuda umichokek mi bein raglov. That's a haftacha. It's a mission statement. The scepter will never be removed from the tribe of Yehuda. That's the reason why there is no remnant of the Chashmonaim? Let's put this into perspective for a moment. I want to quote for you an unbelievable medrash. The medrash tells us, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Lo'olam yasok adam batora uba mitzvos afilu shelo lishman. A person should always engage in Torah and mitzvos, even for some other reason except for the mitzvah itself. Shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. Because by doing it for some other reason, you might come and eventually do it for the right reason. Shebischar arboyim ushtayim karbonos. Because the reward for the 42 karbonos that Balak HaRasha brought, Zacha v'yatza mimenu rus, that Balak deserved and was zoche to have Rus come from Balak. And obviously we know that Rus HaMoaviyah was zoche to have Melech HaMashiach come from her. David traces himself back to Rus, and Rus traces herself back to Balak. Why? Because this Russia, Balak, this evil man, Shiloh Lishman, brought 42 korbanos. And because of that, he was zochet to have Melech HaMashiach, the Davidic dynasty, as a descendant. The Chashmonayim, who were tzaddikim, chasidei olam, because of them the Torah was not forgotten. And because they took upon themselves the Malchus, there isn't even a trace of the Chashmonayim dynasty. And Balak HaRasha, the man whose sole purpose in life was to destroy and curse and eradicate Klal Yisrael. But because he brought 42 korbanos, he was zochet to David HaMelech. Zu Torah v'zu Schaira. Is this really correct? Is it really true? Is it possible? What was so terrible with taking the Meluchim? Big deal. Rav Rudiman, the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Ner Yisrael, suggests that the Melucha itself, the Chashmonayim taking the scepter and the crown away from the tribe of Yehuda in it unto itself, wasn't so terrible. But it was the Chashmonayim's attitude while doing so. The Chashmonayim were the ones who ensured Jewish survival. The Chashmonayim were the ones who ensured that Torah would never be forgotten. And they said to themselves, look what we've done. Look how amazing we are. It's because of us that there's Torah learning still today. There are people that are doing mitzvos today because of us. And it was at that moment that they turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you owe us. Magia li. We are deserving of having the Melucha. Look what we've done. Now pay us back. You owe us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't owe us anything. We don't make demands on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything. There was a town of Slutsk. And there was a man, a secular Jew, that would walk around the town every single day. And every Thursday evening, he'd take the same route and the same walk. And he saw time and time again, every Thursday night, the butcher of the town line out the door, would push the customers out of his store, lock the door, and say, come back at a different time. And the secular Jew who was taking his walk would see this happen week after week until finally one week, as the butcher was racing out of his store, as customers were waiting to get in, the secular Jew catches up with the butcher and said to him, what are you doing? He was incredulous. How can you have people in your store only to kick them out? What about the money? What about the customers? What about the job? What are you doing? Where are you going? That's so important. The butcher said, I have a chavrusa. I have mincha ma'ariv. I have to learn. I have to do these things. The secular Jew said, for what? Why is that so important? To learn? To do mitzvahs? For what? The butcher started to explain to this secular man about a concept called Olam Haba. There's a world to come. There's something beyond Olam Hazeh. They were fighting back and forth. The secular Jew telling the butcher Olam Haba doesn't exist. The butcher telling him Olam Haba does exist. Until finally the secular Jew had enough and he said that I'm willing to sell you my portion in Olam Haba for 1 ruble. The butcher couldn't believe it. He said, you have a deal. Done. A few weeks later, the secular Jew dies. His wife comes to the butcher and said, my husband came to me in a dream. And he said that I have to purchase back my Olam Haba. After all, he was standing before the tribunal, the court, Lamaila, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was weighing whether he is allowed or not allowed to go into the next world. And finally he was allowed only to realize that he had sold his portion in the world to come. And now he can't get in. So he comes to his wife in a dream and says, buy my Olam Haba back for that 1 ruble. She comes to the butcher. The butcher says, no can do. A deal is a deal. She goes back. The husband comes to her in a dream again and says, you have to do something. Go to the town Rav. The secular woman goes to the Ravaz. And she explains to the Ravaz what had happened. The deal, the arrangement, the ruble, the Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh. The Ravaz hears both sides of the story. The Ravaz thinks about it, ponders, comes back before the butcher and this almana, this woman, and he tells the butcher, you have to give it back. It's not yours, and it's not his. He doesn't have the right to sell the Olam Haba. Torah and mitzvos aren't ours to sell. And it's not ours to come and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look how amazing we are. Look what we've done. It was because of us that we ensured Jewish continuity. And therefore, in addition to the kahuna, to being the priest, we also want the malchus, the royalty. Magia li, you owe me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't owe you anything. Imagine coming before a king and telling the king, you owe me. That's punishable by death. That's the greatest form of rebellion. For an eved to come before a king and tell him, Magia li. And there's precedent for this. This idea existed earlier with descendants of Aaron HaKohen. After all, the Torah tells us that Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu ish machtaso, that the sons of Aaron Nadav v'Avihu, they each took a pan and they put in it fire and they put ketores and they brought it before Hashem, d'shei zara. And ultimately we know Vayamusu b'nei Hashem that the sons of Aaron Nadav v'Avihu died. And there are many opinions as to what they did that was so terrible. Either they were drunk when they went in Lifnei Hashem, or perhaps they were Mora Halacha Lifnei Rabbo, that they decided a case before Moshe Rabbeinu their Rebbe, or perhaps they were drunk. And then there's another opinion that's brought down in the Gemara Maseches Erevin. The Gemara tells us, Ukfar Hayu Moshe V'Aaron Mahalchin Boderech, that it was that Moshe and Aaron were walking on the way. V'Nodav v'Avihu ma'alchin achareyan, and Nodav and Avihu were following them. V'chol Yisrael achareyan, and all of Yisrael was following Nodav v'Avihu. Amar lo Nodav l'Avihu, Nodav turns to Avihu and says, "Emosai yamusu shnei zekenim halalu." when are these two elderly men going to die? Vani vata naniges hador, that you and I are going to be able to lead the generation. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hanira mikol veris mi. Who is going to bury whom? And ultimately, it was Nadav v'Avihu who died before Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Nadav v'Avihu, it was a chutzpah to come and stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Magi Ali, it's our turn. It's on us to lead the people now. Hanira miko beris mi, who's going to bury whom? Nadav v'Avihu, come before Hashem. Magi Ali, it's our turn. The Chashmonaim, in the aftermath of the victory, ensuring Jewish continuity, come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, in addition to being Kohanim, we also want the Malchus, again coming to Hashem and saying, Magi Ali, it's owed to me. No one stands before a melech, a king, and says, Magi Ali, that's more b'malchus, that's rebellion against the king, liable to death. There's one time, though. There's one time where a person is allowed to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make a demand against Hashem. Tefillah. Tefillah is the only time where we can stand before Hashem and say, Magi Ali HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want it. You know why? There's a very big difference. Because unlike the Chashmonaim that came before Hashem, and Nadav v'Avihu who came before Hashem, they came before Hashem as avadim, as slaves speaking before an Adon, a master, a king. We don't come before a king and make demands. But when we're mispalel lefnei Hashem, we're not coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as He being our King. We're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as He being our Father. And the child is allowed and is expected to make a demand upon a father. I'll bring you a raya from Parshas Vayeshev. I've said this in the past, and I believe what I'm saying is emes la'amito. The Torah tells us that bikesh Yaakov leishev v'shalva, that Yaakov had requested to live a life of serenity, of peace. Kofso olav rogzo shel Yosef. The angst of Yosef sprang upon him. Let me ask you a question. What's so terrible with Yaakov's request? It wasn't like he was going to sunny Florida, going to golf all day. He wanted to sit and steig in serenity. His entire life was one huge battle. From the time that he was in utero, he was in the womb of his mother. It was one milchama after the next. And now he wanted to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shalva. Is that such a terrible request? So what I want to suggest, and you have to be medayik, you have to look carefully in the lashon as to how he made this request. His problem, Yaakov Avinu's problem, was in how he made the request. Yaakov bikesh leishev bashalva. When a child stands before his father, he doesn't stand as a mivakesh, making a request. He stands as a doresh.
he makes a demand. What it should have said is Yaakov Doresh. He's demanding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leshev Bashalva. Like a child asking for a lollipop. You ever see a child ask for a lollipop? He doesn't ask. He demands from his father. If Yaakov Avinu would have been a Doresh and demanded from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to live a life of Shalva, I truly believe his demand would have been acknowledged and accepted. As a slave, as a servant, there's no such thing as demanding from Malchus, from royalty. We don't come before a king and say, Magiali. But when it comes to a child asking a father, we're allowed to come before Hashem and say, Magiali, you owe me. I am your child. I demand this of you. Because there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing the hat of Avinu, our father. The Baba Sali was a great Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael. And thousands of people would come and tell Baba Sali their suffering and their misfortune. And one time there was a person that had many children, either finding shiduchim or were ill, he didn't have parnasa. And he was pouring out his heart to the Baba Sali. And at the door was the Baba Sali's son-in-law listening in. And the Baba Sali uncharacteristically turned to his son-in-law and screamed at him, Ma ata osepo! What are you doing here? Why do you deserve to be here? You don't belong here. The son-in-law was speechless. He didn't have what to say. And the Baba Sali responded for his son-in-law and said, My dear father-in-law, I am like your son. And because I am like your son, I have every right to be here. I have every right to be here and listen and acknowledge and be in your presence. And Baba Sali turned to this poor man who had so much suffering and said, turn to your father and demand of him and tell him that you have every right to be here. You have every right to listen in and to be in his presence and to acknowledge him and accept him and make a demand of him. Because I am his child and he is my father. The Chashmonaim were married by Malchus. And ultimately, the lineage of the Chashmonaim is forever destroyed. Because they came before Hashem as servants, making a demand upon their king. And that's liable to death. And Nadav v'Avihu came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the Melech, and said, Magiali. And them too, they were liable to die because we don't come before a king making demands. But when it comes to a child before his father, there's no rebellion. There are no rules. We're allowed to come and be Doresh and make demands and put HaKadosh Baruch Hu against the wall and tell him, I am your child, you owe me. This is a time, Chanukah is a time that's muskal for Nisim v'Niflaos. Now's the time more than ever that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acting with us as He is our Father and we are His children. Now is the time, more than ever, to be a Doresh, to make demands from our Father. Let us not waste these precious days. These are precious moments where we come and say, Sha'asa nisim la'avoseinu v'lanu, these miracles are happening to us today. But only because, first and foremost, we're His children and He is our Father. Have a freilich in Chanukah.